to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim Dio Double G. And tonight I'm joined by the man working the sound effects. That's at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up?
And the man who I proclaim to be dead many times on this podcast. He lives. Just like in the comics, you think he's dead, but he's just in an alternate dimension somewhere. The man himself, Mr. Classic Material.
I'm back.
Welcome back, Classic. Welcome back.
Still function.
Still be back, guys. Albeit too briefly, I want to say hello to the Comic Book Chronicles universe. I don't even know if you guys have a universe. Hello to the Click Nation. Hello to you guys. I missed you all. And glad to be back, even albeit briefly, but right back where I belong, talking comic books with you guys.
Yes, sir.
Good to Happy have to have you.
So, yes, like I said, just like in the comics, this is episode 53, The Resurrection of Classic.
that's got to be the post. That's going out on Twitter, man. That is going out on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So, this is the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are found on our website, theclicknation.com. Make sure to follow the Twitter account, at theclicknation. Check out Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus, search for the Click Nation, and also join the Click Nation community. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/theclicknation. On iTunes and Stitcher Radio, just search for the Click Nation. As soon as Stitcher starts updating episodes, when I put them up there, I had to send them an email tonight, actually, because I am behind on adding the episodes to podcast listeners, but I added episode 49 last week or earlier this week, and it still hasn't shown up there. It's on iTunes, though. And, of course, episode 49 was myself and Agent 70 doing our Best of 2013 review.
Right.
If you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And we record live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you happen to be watching a replay or listening to a replay and you want to tune into the show live, just make sure to follow on the website, because I always put the post up before the show goes live. Yep, and there's Classic's tweet.
Yeah, I had to send a tweet. Right.
I'm glad you did it, because I was going to try to type something up myself, but since I had to give the spiel at the beginning, now I can just retweet your tweet.
There you go, retweet.
I was in the middle of typing the tweet, and then I had to jump back on sound.
Dr. Octopus, Agent 70 over there with the soundboard, the control room. And, you know, let's not be mistaken. I do check out the show every now and then. Never live, because my Thursday nights are taken up, but I do check it out. And you guys, and Dirt and Roddy, you know, do a great job keeping the comic books, you know, discussion going. And so, you know, I'm glad that it's still going strong. You guys are, you know, really doing a great thing here.
Thank you, sir. So with that out of the way, this is, at least right now, we're planning on this being a short episode, because we haven't read lots of the books this week. We've read a couple, but there is at least a lot of comic book news to discuss, so we'll dive straight into that.
Definitely. This week is huge on news.
I have everything listed as it happened throughout from last Friday through this week. So first up, I have the news of the... I guess you can call this spoilers. Yeah, it's not the Spider-Man. It's not nice. Spider-Man news yet. That's like three bullet points down. But first, Marvel announced that the Ultimate Universe will survive after Cataclysm. And they're going to relaunch with all new Ultimates.
All new.
which
Marvel now.
Yeah, which someone online termed as Young Ultimates, because it's the teenagers leading the show this time with Miles Morales and Spider-Woman, now named Black Widow, Kitty Pryde, Cloak and Dagger, and Bombshell.
That'd be good to see. You know, I think Bendis is having a lot of fun writing Bombshell. So I think, I think it'll reinvigorate the line and really differentiate it from the mainstream Marvel U.
Was she in the Marvel 616?
Bombshell?
No. I don't think so. Maybe the character name is, but I don't think like a teenage, you know, young wannabe villain / wannabe hero.
No, but she reminds me a lot of
Boom Boom, maybe?
Jackpot. Remember that Dan Slott character with the reddish hair that was like supposed to be Mary Jane? But
yes, you're right.
He reminds me a lot of her in terms of her look and, you know, just the way she acts. So I don't know if maybe it's just like kind of an homage to that character or whatnot, but, it's bringing new characters into the Ultimate Universe. That's a good thing. One question I have out of this is, one thing that comes out of this is we thought the Ultimate Universe was coming to an end, like completely being destroyed. But if this is the new Ultimates, then does this not bode well for the old Ultimates? Because Captain America, you know, kind of knows by their absence. They're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no Thor, no mention of Captain America anywhere. And on the next issue of Ultimate Cataclysm, The Ultimate's Last Stand, there is the Spider-Man holding a silhouetted body on the cover.
That's right.
So let's see. So that's going to be written by Michael Fife, I believe. And I forget who the artist is. I think I actually saw today, because I'd never heard of the Michael Fife guy, but I saw whatever article I saw today listed that he's the writer of, I think, Copra or some kind of book called Copra Image. So maybe it's Marvel's way of introducing a new writer again. And Joshua Hale Fialkov, who is currently writing the Ultimates, he's moving on over to Ultimate FF, which is a play on the Future Foundation. So it's a team of scientists led by Susan Storm, also starring Iron Man, Sam Wilson, aka Falcon, and Machine Man. And you can do your little ring spoilers.
Oh, okay. We're gonna talk about Machine Man?
Well, supposedly there's another member mentioned, and I saw it's funny because Comic Book Resources and Newsarama both had interviews with Fialkov, interviewing him on the same day about Ultimate FF. And he said some extra stuff in one interview that he didn't say in the other one, which I found funny. Because I think in the Newsarama article, he actually mentions that Danny Ketch is in the book.
That's, well, spoiler alert for anyone.
Exactly.
We'll get to that in Cataclysm, but that's who ends up being Machine Man.
Oh, it's Ketch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And it is interesting because Fialkov has been sort of featuring Ketch, at least in the last issue of Ultimates, the one from, I guess, last month, and not, I don't know what happened in the yesterday's issue.
Well, things happen.
And, you know, I think this is a good use of the Ultimate Universe, if they're still going to keep it alive. You know, a place where they can develop Marvel characters that were kind of forgotten in the mainstream 616 universe, like a Danny Ketch, you know, not in the regular Marvel universe, I don't think. They can really focus on those characters and give them more life, kind of like how, they had an MC2 and some of the other alternate universes. Will this translate to sales, which is really what Marvel's bottom line is? They got to sell books. That's the big question. But there's... They really pared it down and streamlined it to just a couple of titles, similar to what they did a few years ago.
Right. And as our loyal watcher, Dort Geekus, says, Yes, doesn't the other writer have Bombshell and everyone else and Bendis still have Miles? So that is correct because Brian Michael Bendis is staying on to write. I forget the title for the new Spider-Man. Is it All New Spider-Man?
I didn't even look.
I forget what the title of it is.
Is it in the solicits or not yet, right?
Nah, not yet.
Okay.
I forget. I think it has All New in it. Or some other way of saying Spider-Man. Spider-Man's still in the name, of course.
Oh, no, I think it's Miles Morales.
Okay.
Spider-Man. Right?
The Ultimate Spider-Man?
The Ultimate Spider-Man, right. I think that's how it is. Like, it's a play on, I remember reading it's a play on the old Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man title.
Yep. And that's keeping the same creative team of Brian Michael Bendis writing and Dave Marquez on art. So that's the Ultimate Universe now.
We'll see how it all comes down.
Yeah, sticking to three books again, but minus a X-Men book for now.
So the Ultimate Universe is kind of the Miles Morales universe. It seems he's going to end up being like the central character of that universe now. You know, and sort of.
It's only appropriate.
Yeah, it is. You know, because it's new and it's different, and he's, you know, he's coming into his own as Spider-Man. You know, and he's a very well liked character.
Right.
That's one thing, you know, since Ultimate launched that has been apparent. So.
Would you agree that maybe he's starting to become the soul of the Ultimate Universe the way Peter Parker is the soul of 616?
Yeah, and it would have been too crowded if he came over to the 616 like they originally had planned or was rumored to be planned,
right.
Yeah, because you've already got, you know, Miguel O'Hara, you know, and Spidey Ock and Peter Parker and Venom. There's too many Spider-Men as it is.
Kane.
Yeah, Kane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Dorky also says he believes the silhouetted figure on Ultimate's Last Stand is at the end of cut is a yes, Wooler is Miles' dad since he was missing at the end of the last issue of Cataclysm Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, that would totally suck.
Yeah, see,
which I guess would make it easier for him to go gallivanting around with the Ultimates.
Yeah, but at the same time, he sort of still needs that, like, kind of that base, that, you know, that humanizing character. His equivalent of an Aunt May, you know what I mean?
Right.
So who would that be if it wasn't for his dad? So, Gonke?
who has gone, not missing, but he hasn't really had time to be featured lately. I guess that's the reason why Bendis is...
with the fat Asian kids. Come on!
I guess that's why Bendis has been building up Bombshell and Cloak and Dagger so much the last like 6+ issues of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Probably.
Next news article: DC announced a lot of new books for April because the April solicits are due out next week. They actually haven't even come out yet, but DC's getting ahead of the curve and started announcing some new series, and last week, or might have been earlier this week, I didn't write down what day it was announced, but Sinestro is getting a solo book.
Right.
By Cullen Bunn writing, and I forget who the artist is. So, the Green Lantern Universe gets yet another book.
I think does it need it?
Seven or eight now? Four? Is it Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, New Guardians, Lanterns. Red Lanterns, Larfleas?
Wait, the Larfleas book is still going on?
And so it'll make six.
Oh my goodness.
Imagine, see,
you know how we pick, you know, I sort of criticize Marvel for expanding the Avengers books into like every corner, but I didn't realize there were that many Green Lanterns universe books.
He's become Batman as far as like what a franchise is.
That is crazy.
But I will be reading this one because I'm a Cullen Bunn fan for one and a Sinestro fan too.
All right.
Yeah, I've sort of, since I've I realize I'm trying to read too much now, so I'm starting to pare down and just get to the stuff I know I want to read.
We've all been reading long enough to know that we have like these peaks and valleys in our reading schedules, especially when they start throwing out new series, new number ones. You start picking them up, you read them, you hold them for like 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 issues, and then all of a sudden your reading list is expanded or your pull list is expanded from like this long to this long. I was looking at my Comixology pull list the other day. I was like, damn, where the hell all these books come from?
Yes. It's a struggle.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm just keeping up with reading them, you know?
And then, you know, you have your main books you read already, and then new books are announced. You're like, oh, that looks kind of interesting.
Right, and you want to give it a try. You want to support the industry, right.
But, so yeah, that's Sinestro. So, okay, yeah, here's the big spoiler.
Wait, hold on.
Peter Parker is set to return in The Amazing Spider-Man number one. I don't know if I want to applaud or not.
Yeah.
I like Superior Spider-Man.
Well, we all know why this is happening now.
Right.
Yes.
Movie. Money. Cha-ching. And this is exactly what Dan Slott said was not going to happen, what Marvel said was not going to happen back at Comic-Con a year ago when Dave and I were sitting there in the third row and they were telling us all the stuff that was going down. You know, this is exactly what we thought was not going to happen, but they made it happen anyway because, you know, the movie's coming out and the long-cherished new readers are going to be in the comic book store, coming out the theater, you know, with the bellies full of popcorn, getting their first comic book, going, Dad, you know, how come Peter Parker is not Peter Parker in the Spider-Man comic? I don't understand. I can't buy this. So,
I'm just happy to see this is all finally coming to an end. Of the normal panel on the Comic Book Chronicle, I'm the one that has been hate reading Superior Spider-Man for the longest time. So I'm happy to see it come to an end, and I think, and I would like to think that Slott and the rest of the gang at Marvel are right, because I've been reading some of the interviews, and I think people are really going to appreciate the classic Peter Parker more now.
Well, here's my problem with this whole thing and with Slott. Well, first off, Humberto Ramos, I mean, he has his moments, but they're few and far between, and a lot of what's captured is hard to just digest because of his artwork. It's just, you know, I gave him a few chances when he did 700. There was some, you know, or that run from 690 whatever to 700. You know, those books, there were some panels that were pretty good, and there were just some that were just terrible. These last few have just been awful, and then I'm like going into this, you know, this these last few Superior Spider-Mans, and then, you know, I'm just not sure about them. But the thing with Slott is everything is extremely fast-paced. It worked for Superior Spider-Man and Doc Ock in some areas. In some other areas, it was just like, you know, he would drop like little plot lines and then just leave them, you know, dangling for a while and then come back to them. But, you know, just everything just moved so fast, and it was like everything was crammed into one space.
I will say I am a fan of Humberto Ramos, but there are times where some of the panels, it's hard, especially in issue 25, which we'll get to later. The Superior Venom, it was hard to tell what action was taking place in some of the panels. Like, were they punches? Or was it just the symbiote throwing ooze at somebody?
Right.
Which way was Venom facing? He's kind of like Chris Bacalo. I like him too, but his art gets kind of
confusing
jumbled together too.
Right. I agree.
But, so yeah, when Amazing Spider-Man 1 launches, of course, he'll be taking on the movie villain Electro. And Slott said he's not going. There's going to be no Nick Fury of Electro making match to making match the movie. That was, that's my wording, not his.
The fact is they're doing the Electro tie, which, you know, I understand Marvel wants to make money, and I don't mind it at all, because this wasn't a problem when I was growing up or when we were collecting books back then, because Marvel didn't have movies to tie into. Or if there was a movie tie-in, it was like a single-issue tie-in graphic novel, the movie version of RoboCop or whatever, so, you know, but the main series was whatever it was. You know, this whole thing of, oh, well, Electro's out in the movie theater, let's do an Electro issue, or let's do a few Electro issues and just have them surface back in, and it's not natural. That's the problem I have. You know, if it's not natural that Electro be back in, then why do it?
Last time we saw Electro was in Superior Spider-Man Team-Up, where he was being controlled by Doc Spidey-Ock. Spidey-Ock controlling the Sinister Six.
Right. I was about to say, I think the last time I saw him, well, he was still locked up in one of those special holding cells that Spidey-Ock had put together. So,
yeah.
And Slott said that, you know, take it for a grain of salt, but he said no one at Marvel told him to use Electro, but he was like, you know, it wouldn't make sense not to use Electro because you want to try to get as many new readers as possible, so you got a new number one. He did the same thing with Lizard when the Amazing Spider-Man 1 came out, so try to capitalize. And our good friend and co-host Dirt tweets at us that believe it or not, a lot of people actually read the Larfleeze regularly. The Larfleeze ongoing.
Don't even get us started on a news nerd's need. Good friend Roddy Katz, Twitter handle for his news, his nerdy news site. So.
Yep. And he actually tweets. He just tweeted out the link to the YouTube for people if they want to watch. So follow him on his Twitter account at Roddy Kett and at News Nerds Need. And follow Dirt on Twitter at PCN_Dirt and check out his website, popculturenetwork.com. Forgot to mention those earlier.
We get them.
Yep. And Dirt also asked, why can't they do two Spider series at once so the kids can have Peter and we adults can enjoy Otto?
You know, they used to have that, the Marvel Adventures Spider-Man for the kids, and, you know, I don't understand why Marvel doesn't have a kids table. They used to, but now it's like everything is Marvel kids, and they're still trying to fit in the things for the adults and the teenagers. But you know what? It's like pro wrestling, like I always say. That stuff's not for grown folks anymore. It's for the kids, because really that's who in droves is going to come out and spend that money. You know, the collectors, they'll come, but not to that magnitude that the kids will. You know, and that's the bar.
Right, and the kids buying, you know, getting their parents to buy for them.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got next on the news list?
Let's see. Next up we have... Oh, so Michael Douglas was announced to be playing a certain character in the Ant-Man film.
Liberace.
Ah!
Nope. No, he will be playing...
Gordon Gekko.
Yes. I was waiting for that. He'll be playing Hank Pym. Very much older Hank Pym.
Yes.
So he would be Hank Pym, and Paul Rudd would be Scott Lang. And what the setup sounds like it's going to be is Hank Pym, Michael Douglas will be playing Hank Pym from this in the 60s. And so it'll start off in the 60s as him as maybe a agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then jump ahead to the present where he's an older man, and then Scott Lang comes and steals his technology from him to maybe save his daughter's life. We'll have to wait and see.
Right, Cassie.
And then was it so Michael? Michael Cera, or Pena,
CGI, and some Just for Men.
Yeah.
Cover up that gray. You know, the '60s look.
And yeah, I'm surprised by this revelation.
Yeah, that.
Go on, Tim. Like you're gonna finish with the news, and then we can talk about it.
Oh, I was just gonna say I didn't write it down, but I also remember, was it Michael Pena? Is that his name?
Yeah.
It's rumored to be having a role in the movie also. But continue.
I don't know.
Age of 70.
Well, I was shocked to hear this. You know, it's always funny to hear, you know, to read some of the interviews that, you know, some of the press releases that that the actors contribute to. Michael Douglas is saying, I've always wanted to be in a Marvel movie. I'm like, really?
I like getting paid.
Seriously,
they are increasing their acting chops with Michael Douglas and Robert Redford and the winner Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know what it is. Everyone sees that Marvel's putting out, you know, movies that aren't just fluff and popcorn fodder. So, and that's, you know, and that's a good thing. And you know, they're obviously paying, you know. If I recall, there were stories that Marvel was not paying well, but look, they're drawing in these people. They got to be paying some. They're drawing it in somehow.
No, you look at those box office receipts, and they're paying a pretty good penny. And
right.
Think about the deal that Robert Downey Jr. has for Iron Man 3, and you know, and a lot of them have like points on the, you know, on the ticket sales or whatever. If you got a big name star, that's going to add to the allure. You know, of the movie, you're already going to get the Marvel fans and the comic book fans, but now you're going to get the Michael Douglas fans in the theater as well. I mean, it's like blockbuster on top of blockbuster. Marvel's just going to keep slaying them with movies. Even the other rumor about Johnny Depp, you know.
Oh, that was crazy. Yeah, when did that come out?
Yeah, that was also this past week, that rumor about Johnny Depp being up for Doctor Strange, although that's like...
It's funny, Variety posted that article, and then like later that same day they had like a slight retraction later on in it.
Yeah, and you know, and the rumors are fast and furious right now, you know, and a lot of it could be wishful thinking. A lot of it just could be, you know, these things are being planned and they're being leaked, and then you have no choice but to deny it because the ink hasn't dried yet, or you know, they haven't really finalized anything. Why would they tip their hand and say, well, Johnny Depp's on board if he's not on board? They did the same thing with Paul Rudd and Ant-Man. You know, so we just have to wait and see. But, you know, a lot of these are actually believable. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, more, of course, as more news comes out on that, we'll have it first for you on Comic Book Chronicles. Let's see, Fox's Gotham TV series will be a Batman origin story. So people are wondering, since it's supposed to focus on the early years of James Gordon navigating the streets of Gotham City, that, you know, would Batman be making an appearance in it? But so now they said it would be like a 12-year-old Bruce Wayne will appear, and you'll see origin stories for all of Batman's villains. And supposedly, really? Like, they have... The people running the show Gotham, they have full power to kind of do whatever they want to. They don't have to have it tie into the movies I read. And supposedly they have like an end. Supposedly the way it sounded, they have this end point for the show. So they can do whatever they want to and get up to the end, and then that's the show and they're done with it.
All right.
If that actually happens, we'll see. Because then the show will probably be so popular that Fox will want to keep it on air, so they'll have to keep dragging it out longer and longer. Give us bad seasons.
I don't know. This has the potential to work, but only if the Batman element of it or the Bruce Wayne element is... Like, let's not have 9-year-old Bruce Wayne be a recurring character. He should not be a regular character on the show. You know, you can have him on... Every now and then you cover the death of the Waynes and that's it. But it should center around Commissioner Gordon Gotham City, you know, police department, the corruption, him rising in the ranks, and, you know, maybe some early origin stories of some of the bad villains, maybe before they were even villains, like a Jack Napier or Edward Nygma, you know, or people like that, before they were the Joker, because obviously they didn't come into play until after Batman came about, you know, which would be a 20-something year old Bruce Wayne.
Dirt says he's more excited for Gotham than these new Marvel movies.
Wait, where is it?
Yeah. And, you know, if it's more likely this show's going to be on the CW. And my problem with...
Well, Fox... Well, Gotham's going to be on Fox.
Oh, well, that's even better. All right. As long as they don't team this thing up, because I think we've seen too many team versions of stuff, you know, in terms of the superhero thing where they, you know, they try to trend to the young demo. And it's like, you know, Bruce Wayne's in here, but he's an angsty teen.
Oh.
He's emo, and he's got long hair, and he skates.
Right.
You know, to cope with his parents being dead.
You know that's where it's going.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see, get through some more of the news. Let's see. So the new Flash, the Flash creative team was announced for issue 30, and it's going to be the team of co-writing Robert Venditti and Van Jensen, who are both kind of co-plotting and co-writing Green Lantern Corps right now, even though I think Venditti's done plotting it, so now that book's solely Van Jensen's, both of whom I might add are from Georgia or live in Georgia. So shout out to them. And the artist on the book will be Brett Booth, who I also enjoy. And they're going to bring back Wally West. Thoughts?
Where the hell's he been all this time?
Yeah.
We'll find out. And was it The Flash Annual number 3, I believe? Or 2, I can't remember which number it is.
I think Brett Booth, they had an interview, one of the websites, Newsarama or Comic Book Resources, had an interview with Booth today, and he mentioned something about, you know, it's not going to be the Wally you knew, and, you know, he's just happy that, you know, that they're introducing Wally into the New 52. So I'm kind of curious to see where they go with this. I kind of like the new, they kind of spoiled that the cover to, you know, the cover image that they released has Wally on it. They're not precise in saying that it's the guy in blue, but it probably is. So, you know, it's actually, I like the design. So, and I'm kind of curious to see how they
They haven't really said if that is Wally on the cover or not.
Right, but I think what they say is that he's on the cover, but they haven't said exactly if that's him in the middle. So, like, where is it?
There it is.
Okay. Let's see what else we get. Let's see. There's gonna be an ongoing Nightcrawler book coming April for Marvel, with Chris Claremont writing and Todd Knock on art.
Good for Todd Knock.
That's what I was saying. I was more excited. That's what got me excited for that book.
Yeah. Good for Todd Knock. Listen, that dude. Yes, there you go. Thank you. That guy is a hardworking artist. He, you know, when he's at conventions, he's churning out sketches by the boatload. Before, I guess, he decided to really monetize it, he did a lot of sketches for cheap or for free for kids. So, you know, that guy's he's a phenomenal artist. He works at a breakneck pace, and, you know, I'm glad to see him get like some real, get back to getting some like mainstream exposure. On the other hand, I'm not so sure I'm thrilled that Claremont is writing this.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure I'm thrilled about that.
I haven't really read his stuff since like the 90s. I know he had a long run with the X-Men stuff in the 2000s, but that was early 2000s, but that was back when I stopped reading comics. so I missed all that.
And it wasn't that good. You didn't
miss Extreme X-Men, and then he do, was it X-Men The End?
Yeah, but Extreme X-Men wasn't bad, but his Uncanny run was pretty forgettable. Pretty,
but let's not forget, some of the best that we've seen of Nightcrawler was in Excalibur, which was created by Claremont.
Right.
So if it's a call back to, like, say, 90s Nightcrawler, you know, the swashbuckling, adventurous, and not this, like, morose Catholic priest Nightcrawler.
Right.
You know, it might be a good book to check out. It might be a fun romp, if you will. You know, I don't know if it's just going to be fun or if it's going to be fun mixed in with some serious, but I think this might be a little more whimsical than your typical Marvel book. This might be along the lines of a She-Hulk or a Deadpool.
Well, speaking of those books that are going to be getting big pushes in April, but we'll get to that, you know, when we talk about it. So what's next on the news list?
That's all I had written down, so we can...
Well, I've got a couple things now. So, Bill Paxton, the actor, is joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as an active cast member. So... Wait, who gonged that?
I gonged it.
Aww.
I want to say... Game over, man! Game over, man!
Nice. I'm just glad to see that they're bringing in, you know, similar to what we were talking about with bringing in these serious actors, you know, these more renowned actors into the Marvel movies. It's nice to see, you know, another mainstream actor joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., giving it some more, star recognition.
And we can say that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was new this week. I saw the majority of the episode. It was a little better. Like, the show might be picking up since they came off a fall hiatus.
I agree. I've been a fan of the show. You know, just very quickly, we're gonna just veer off the news for a second. I want to write up, my opinion in a nutshell, though, is I want to do a write up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But my opinion in a nutshell is it's getting stronger, and I don't know what everyone's expectations were, but I think, because I had low to middling expectations, I'm satisfied with it, and I'm glad to see that it's growing, and I want to see where it goes. So, you know, that's my opinion in a nutshell. And, you know, adding, quality actors as part of the cast is a good sign.
Yeah, I think the major concern that people have with it, or the major complaint that people have with it, is this Sky is just annoying as hell.
And she's grown on me, like literally and figuratively.
I mean, superficially, and you know, the first few episodes, I thought she was, you know, clever and nice and everything. It's just, it's like, it seems like she goes through the same motions each episode of, you know, doubting things and we should do this, and you know, kind of giving the exposition and the plot, and you know. And then she turns out to be right, you know, but she's like this rookie or whatever. I mean, yeah, I guess she's the central figure, one of the central figures of the show, but really, this should mostly, if not always, be about Coulson. And
I don't think they want it to be strictly about Coulson, because I think Coulson is one of the... Honestly, I think Coulson is still one of the characters that they're going to reuse in the movies. So they're going to keep developing him and, you know, drop him in the random Marvel movie. Whereas I don't know if they're going to drop Agent May or Agent Ward into any of the movies. So that's why I think the show, you know, is really focusing on the other agents as opposed to Coulson. Even though they're really developing, obviously they're developing Coulson's, post-death experience, you know. So they're definitely not shying away from that, but I still think they're going to develop the other characters more and focus more on them, because there's still a chance to drop Coulson into all the other movies.
I like the other agents too. You know, Fitzsimmons. I think they're fun, and you know.
Really, I think there's one too many British people. We could do with, just get rid of one of them. I'd be happy with just one.
They teased the death of one of them. What I didn't like this past episode, spoiler, fourth
ding, ding, ding.
When they dropped into S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, which was pretty much looked like Hogwarts for S.H.I.E.L.D., and I was just like, you know, and then the basement club scene and all that stuff, it's like, oh, really? Come on. we could have done without that. Yeah, you could have had a serious story about Blizzard's origin and not had to go, you know, all teenage with S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, I don't want to see Teen S.H.I.E.L.D. Brigade, and, you know, that just seemed wrong.
I got you. All right. Let's see, what other news do we have here? Did you guys miss the tweets from the announcement of Fialkov and Slott's Infinite Comic? Amazing Spider-Man asks, who am I?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
The reason why I tweeted out is because our some former guests of the Comic Book Chronicles, their top secret Marvel project was finally announced. We're talking about Joffo and Mast, our guests from France, who are basically working with Dan Slott, Joshua Hale Fialkov, and Juan Bobillo, Antonio Fabello, and Antonio Fabello, putting together this Infinite Comic, which asks Amazing, you know, the title is Amazing Spider-Man, who am I? And it deals with an amnesiac Peter Parker.
I think they've worked on some of the other recently announced Infinite Comics. I think they're working on the Deadpool one too.
Oh, I may have missed that. That announcement, but I think
there was one near the end of last year, or at least from like spring through the end of the year, between that time period, that some Infinite Comic. I can't remember if it was the Deadpool or if it was the Iron Man one, but one of the two. I know they said that they were working on after the book was announced.
I think this is the one they couldn't talk about.
Maybe. So yes, congrats to them.
Yes, congratulations, Mast and Joffo. You can find them at Mast and at Joffo. We'll try to post in the notes. You can follow, check out the Agent_70 feed. They retweeted the tweets that I sent out for, you know, to congratulate them on the announcement of their Marvel project. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I might actually, how do you get access to these Infinite Comics again? You have to be a Marvel Unlimited subscriber?
No, they're on, like, the Marvel app or Comixology.
All righty. So that's going to be, right, that's not, I guess I'm going to have to dive into that headlong.
99 cents.
There you go.
I'm going to just run off these last few announcements that came out today, mostly from DC. Let's see. So Scott Lobdell is off of Teen Titans, and the comic itself is coming to an end. So it'll supposedly be relaunched in some fashion.
Again.
Yeah. Maybe they'll go with the Young Justice name or Justice League Titans, as Newsarama coined it.
Justice League Titans, oh my God.
Let's see. So Kyle Higgins, the writer on Nightwing, will be leaving the book, and the new creative team has not been announced. We also have Avengers Assemble is canceled in March.
Yes, one of the too many Avengers titles is going away.
I actually like that one. Started liking this one, that one lately, because it has a good art on it. Good artist is on there. Hopefully he'll move on to something else. Nah, I like the current art going on with Spider-Girl.
Right, her training, right?
Well, they're helping her investigate her teacher that is found out to be an inhuman, and he's been kidnapped. His cocoon has been kidnapped to be tested on.
Okay.
And the Justice League Canada book that was announced for Jeff Lemire.
Wait, where is it? Where is it? Gone.
It was going to be Justice League America was turning into Justice League Canada, but now it is officially going to be titled Justice League United.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I like the cast.
They went away from they just couldn't call it Justice League Canada.
Well, because I said they're going to do more than just, they're going to be in Canada, but they're also going to have spacefaring adventures. So since it's going to be kind of cosmic and on Earth, they wanted something more than Canada. And actually, I like that. United sounds better than Justice League Canada.
So Canada's not going to have a super team?
They're going to be based in Canada. Okay. And the roster is going to be Martian Manhunter, Adam Strange, Stargirl, Supergirl, Green Arrow, and Animal Man, and a Canadian superhero that Lemire is going to create.
Really? I love it.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, and Dirt, even though he's not on the show, he wants to try to announce that Stephanie Brown will be appearing in Batman Eternal number 3. For those who want to, the specific issue.
There you go. There you go.
So,
did you catch the Marvel solicits that came out today?
I did.
I didn't have a chance to really look through it, but if you want, we could just click through real quick and highlight the Newsarama article that we always look at. What we learned from Marvel's April 2014 solicitations. It is up.
Do it quickly.
Very quickly. So Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning are returning to Guardians of the Galaxy to do a prelude book for the movie. That's kind of cool. Kick-Ass is ending with Kick-Ass 3 is ending with issue number 8. So that's some news for Classic, who is a fan of Kick-Ass, the series. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes, if there's any future for it after Kick-Ass 3 number 8 hits the stands. Spoiler alert. What's going to happen to Rhodey, James Rhodes? There's some talk that he might be biting the big one.
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
You know, it says it straight into solicit.
That's right. I guess Wolverine is going to be stepping down or stepping away from the Jean Grey School for a little while. Yes, Boys and Girls, Superior Spider-Man is ending. But it seems Superior Foes and Superior Team Up are not ending. Interesting. Let's see. The What If type story and series are returning. There's a metric ton load of number one issues in the spring, from Amazing Spider-Man to Iron Fist, Lady Weapon to Elektra to Hulk to Nightcrawler to Inhuman to all new Dupe. Let's see, the Daredevil issue. Oh, and Busy Bendis assembles anniversary issues. All right. So there's going to be a bunch of anniversary issues for Ultimate. Whoa, he's doing Ultimate Spider-Man number 200. Oh, my goodness. Craziness. Well, there's a lot. Well, the bottom line is in April, in Marvel solicits, there's a lot of new books. And I think springtime is just, you know, their time to really try to pad their quarterly earnings. And they're just dropping all these number one issues this entire spring season.
Alrighty. So let's get on to the few comics that we actually did review this week. I guess the big one being Superior Spider-Man number 25.
Yes. I think that's the one. That's the one that the three of us did read.
Yes.
So let's pull that up.
And it was the end of the Superior Venom Darkest Hours. I think that's what the arc was called. So it was basically Superior Venom taking on the Avengers in the streets of New York. And if you didn't know, they were able to extract the symbiote away from Spider-Man with the help of... spoilers.
Hold on.
Peter Parker's ghost.
Peter Parker's ghost, yeah.
So, yes, this starts the voyage of Peter Parker returning in the book. So he claims he's been back for a while now, but laying low. But he just had to intervene to help get the symbiote off of him.
I cheered when I read this. I can't lie. I cheered. I was like, yes!
Yep. Kind of cool to see it.
You know what's funny is that we were talking about Ramos's art, and I definitely agree with the hit and miss. There are a couple of nice panels in here. There's a nice action shot of Captain America in like a foreshortened shot where he's like doing just like a nice kind of martial arts kick. Let's see, but
What was I going to mention? There's something that
the Venom that threw me off.
What's that?
It's mostly how he draws Venom that throws me off. You know,
gotcha.
You know, which Venom is supposed to be wild and flowing, whatever, but it just seems like, you know, it just, I think it takes away and distracts from, like, what would be otherwise, you know, good artwork.
You know, I guess. I just like the, you know, speaking of the reason why I bring up the art is that the reveal page I thought was done very well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought the reveal page was very well done. I thought the layout was nice. I thought, you know, it was very much like panel to panel, like, wait, is it happening? Is it really? Oh my God, it is. And I thought that's what was so well done about it. I give Ramos a lot of credit for being able to pull that off.
And then the lead into the Goblin War, you know,
yes,
took place this issue. So that's basically kicking off the next issue as the goblins go at it. Green Goblin versus Hobgoblin and all of their minions.
Right.
Pretty much going to tear apart the city.
Right. That'll be, it's actually, if there's one good part to Slott's build-up that I've actually enjoyed reading, because how many times am I going to say that I've been hate reading this book? I've enjoyed kind of the build-up of the Goblin Nation, the Goblin Clan. I did not like the name that they gave Carly Cooper's character in this. But,
but it starts with an M.
Yeah, but, you know, I was kind of like, oh, really? Seriously? Is she a Lady Gaga fan? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't like that they just, you know, went and turned her all the way into a freaking goblin. You know, it's like, I mean, that's like the thing she gets for investigating into, you know, Dr. Octopus and putting all these hours in and spending all this time trying to get to the bottom of it. And she was able to actually believe that, I had an inkling of what was happening, and this is how she gets paid for it, you know?
Hmm.
Kind of cruel plot. But,
yeah. So, yeah, the Goblin War, I'm looking forward to. And who is that under the Green Goblin mask?
Yeah, that's a big question, because it purports to be Norman Osborn, and we thought it was. Speculation. You guys, who do you think?
I guess it's too obvious to just say it's Norman Osborn. I wonder if it's his son.
I was thinking it might be Harry.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Harry.
We haven't seen Harry since Superior started.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Harry. You know, that he's the prime candidate, I think. I think, you know, that it would be Norman is too easy. But, you know, he is running around, he's running around free, because if I recall, the last time we saw Norman was that he had broken out of, not prison, but, you know, like whatever prison bed that he was in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if it was Norman, but I think the best candidate is probably going to be Harry.
Okay. So that's the Superior Spider-Man number 25. Let's see, classic, since you're on with us tonight. What else did you read?
I also read X-Factor. I don't have the number in front of me, but the one that came out this week.
Was it X-Factor or
X-Force?
X-Force. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a crossover with X-Factor right now. Uncanny X-Force number 16. Read that. Basically, this is part two of the Vendetta story arc. This is where Hope, Cable's daughter, actually catches up with Bishop, who's kind of her sworn enemy, who actually spent most of his time trying to kill Hope since she was a little baby and traveled through time. But she actually catches up with him as he's a member of the, the new X-Force. And she pretty much goes, you know, tries to kill him. And behind the scenes is Stripe. It's revealed that he's kind of the, the mastermind behind the whole Bishop. While this is going on, the two teams, X-Factor and X-Force, actually collide because they're looking for Hope and Bishop. And so Cable and the rest of the team are, you know, sort of battling. So it's X-Men on X-Men, and, you know, the cover is reminiscent of that. It's got that old George Perez-style Justice League, you know,
yes, type, yes, yes.
Homage there with each of the members of the teams, like, kind of looking to meet in the middle with Stripe
yep.
in the background. Yeah, sort of your classic X-Men type issue. A lot of fighting, a lot of plot advancement. But I would say, you know, since it's part two, nothing major happens in terms of changes. It's just a lot of action. But I think this was a good read overall. Great artwork. You know, Sam Humphries tells a great story, and Tullabau and Dexter Soy, Harvey Tullabau and Dexter Soy, give some good artwork there. So I would say definitely pick that up if you haven't already.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm sad that, actually, I'm not sad that Uncanny's coming to an end, because I haven't really enjoyed Uncanny as much as Cable and the X-Force. But it's like reading, last week I read Cable and X-Force, the first part of Vendetta, and it was just kind of, I was like, knowing the series is coming to an end, is like, why am I even reading this? Because, you know, it's coming to an end, so it's hard reading books I know are going to end, just to start something fresh. I was like, part of me wants to just, like, I might as well just wait till X-Force number one starts and just jump on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's similar to Fantastic Four. I believe Fantastic Four 16 came out today. I couldn't bring myself to read it. You know, I might just wait till the relaunch just to see what kind of new take they're going to try to put on Marvel's first fandom.
Well, that's different because with Fantastic Four, you know, it's the same four people. You know, that's not going to change that much.
Right.
With this, you're going to have a whole new lineup when they relaunch X-Force, you know, afterwards. So, you know, it's kind of good to see these last few issues to see, well, what's going to happen to all these members that don't come back? Where are they going to end up? And are any of them going to die?
True enough.
Okay. What did you also read, Agent 70?
I read Superman Wonder Woman number 4. Switching over to DC. This issue deals with the fallout of the relationship between Superman and Wonder Woman becoming public knowledge, and basically it's, you know, hit every smartphone, news app, and, you know, news channel, and everything, you know, it's basically across the entire world, and basically this issue deals with the fallout of that between, you know, how Superman and Wonder Woman deal with it individually. Basically, Superman's like, hey, man, you know, this is my business. I wanted to keep it to myself. The plot kind of, the plot issue that that they follow, that Superman follows on his own, is it's his website. The Clark Kent works as a reporter for a website, and it's his website that leaks the story. So he's basically trying to investigate how his website was able to, you know, obtain this this information, and what agenda the provider of the information might have, and, you know, he's trying to investigate that. While Wonder Woman's like, you know, I don't know what the big deal is, but at the same time, you know, she sort of understands. The issue itself is divided into two pieces. Basically, the first part deals with Zod, who is, I guess I might as well spoil it. Who is semi-trapped in the Fortress of Solitude, and basically tricks Superman into using the Phantom Zone projector to get, you know, who, you know, a certain female Kryptonian out of the Phantom Zone. And the other half of the story basically focuses on Superman, you know, going to, you know, at some point earlier in the story, goes to try to investigate why or how this information got out, you know, about him and Wonder Woman. So Charles Soule does, you know, a pretty good job. It seems like a brief encounter because the between the Superman and Zod, because it's split up into two stories, the book is split up into two stories, so it does feel a little rushed. But at the same time, it's nice to get a well-rounded book, you know, where you literally have like two short, full arcs within the book. You know, it seems like you're getting more for your money than you really are.
Okay.
You know, but you know, I kind of like where this is going. You know, how many times am I going to say it? I don't know where Charles Sewell finds the time to write this stuff. You know, I give him credit for you know, making me want to read it.
Okay. I'll be checking that out. Let's see, the book I read, the other book besides Superior Spider-Man I read this week was Skyman number 1 from Dark Horse.
Okay.
Which I reviewed on theclicknation.com, so make sure to go read that. This ties into the superhero side of the Dark Horse comic book universe that they're developing. All their books right now are being sort of marketed with the Black Sky Program banner. So books like Captain Midnight, Ghost, The Occultist, X, Brain Boy, and the Skyman limited series are all taking place in the same universe. But Skyman's about best way to explain it. The government has a Skyman program that they've been using in secret, where they fit someone with the Skyman flying uniform to go do jobs for them. And if you've been reading Captain Midnight, you know that the most recent wearer started doing terroristic things, and there was a big fight between Captain Midnight and Skyman in New York. So now the issues begins with the disgraced Skyman getting in trouble at like a local bar, and he sort of uses some, and then of course, because everything's caught on videotape now, someone catches him acting out, and some bad words are used. So now there's like a black eye on the Skyman program. So the government decides they need a new Skyman, and they choose retired and crippled, I guess he's a pilot, former pilot. His first name's Eric. I forget what his last name is. But he's trying to rehabilitate so he can use his legs again. But the government chooses him, one, because he's black, because the previous guy said bad stuff about black people on camera. So it's already, they make it known to him that, you know, he's a token. But the suit grants him the ability to use his legs again. So they're going to put him back out there. And, of course, he has this handler who doesn't like him because how he was handpicked and doesn't think he deserves the Skyman outfit. And he can remotely control the uniform also, which, of course, will lead to some bad things for our Skyman. But it's a 4-issue limited series, and at least the first issue was pretty decent so far. Hoping for more. And it's also written by Mr. Busy Man himself, Joshua Hale Fialkov.
Okay.
It's our classic making faces over there. Or is it camera frozen?
No, he's there.
He's laughing. Okay.
I was just checking out the Skyman as you were talking about it. That looked pretty good. I think I've seen that before. You said that was part of like a series that launched a few months ago in Dark Horse?
Well, it's a brand new number one. They might have had a Skyman book in the past, but I'm just saying it's part of it sort of ties into the Captain Midnight book.
Captain Midnight, yeah, I remember that now.
It takes place in their superhero corner of the Dark Horse universe with a couple of the other books they got out right now. It's like Captain Midnight, Brain Boy, The Occultist, Ghost by Kelly Sue DeConnick, which just relaunched like a week or two ago. And X. So it's supposedly there's going to be like this big crossover thing taking place, I think, in the spring or summer.
Who needs Star Wars?
Yep. Who's in Star Wars? So that's all I read this week.
classic. You read Cataclysm Ultimate Comics number 3 also, right?
Yes.
So what did you think of this book? This was, you know, this was like a lot of fun for me to read because I'm just not that connected to these characters. And I don't think I read the most recent issue, but I think I read the first issue of this limited series with the coming of the swarm of Galactus.
Yes.
And so what do you think?
The swarm of Galactus takes, you know, and they find, like, I guess a follower or a host who's George Tarleton, who, it's funny because I forgot that this was his real name, but that's MODOK.
No kidding.
Yeah, which was funny because I was just thinking about MODOK as it relates to our favorite Marvel TV series. Spoiler alert, spoiler. This is pure speculation, but anybody that knows comics, I believe the clairvoyant is MODOK. And I think that that's what they're going to get to in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But in any case, George Tarleton is who MODOK is, and that's his alter ego. That's who he is in the Ultimate Universe as well. But then he takes over the Galactus Swarm as like kind of an emissary or leader. And since the last issue, he's been like trapping the heroes. And so, you know, the Ultimates, what they're doing to battle the Galactus Swarm is they're trying to sever the connection of the Swarm and Tarleton, and some huge complicated setup where somebody has to go in and sacrifice themselves to basically get rid of the Galactus Swarm. It turns out to be our good friend Danny Ketch, who does the deed, the former Ghost Rider, second Ghost Rider from 616. He's in there as part of the Ultimate team, but he gives up himself, and the issue starts with him like kind of reflecting on himself, so you kind of get that foreshadowing that he's going to be the one to sacrifice himself, and then the twist at the end after the self-sacrifice, you think Danny Ketch is done, but it turns out after everything blows over that he knew, more spoilers, they actually were able to keep him alive, but in a form that's not what his initial form is, as Spider-Dog agrees.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Dog!
Spider-Dog, too. But I like the issue. Art was wild and crazy.
Yes, it was definitely wild and crazy. I have to agree with that. It was kind of distracting, mm-hmm. but I thought that, you know, as you said, the story, you know, moved along. It was kind of wacky, but in a fun way. Mm. And that's what made it enjoyable for me. You could see I like that beginning narration with this version of Danny Ketch. You know, I guess he's kind of a hick or from the South. So, you know, there's definitely some intonation there, you know, sort of some lingo and some slang that he throws in to try to differentiate himself. I'm not that familiar with the Ultimate Danny Ketch, but I thought that it was just a fun read, not being all that familiar with what was going on in this corner of the Ultimate Universe during the Galactus attack. It read fairly quickly. I'm glad that you cleared up what the heck the Swarm, you know, like what this Tarleton guy was doing with the Swarm. I didn't quite get that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I mean, I understood that he was in charge of it, but I didn't get the connection that he was the Ultimate Universe's MODOK
yes.
type character. So yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Pretty much MODOK without the swell cranium.
Right, without the swell noggin. Right. Okay.
And, like I said, I only thought about MODOK because I was thinking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, who might be like the big villain if there's one introduced there, and he'd be perfect.
Right. Well, listen. You know what? I fault myself for not giving it more thought, but that makes perfect sense because they haven't quite gotten around to really establishing AIM, and that'll be the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, and with all these villains being originated like Graviton and now Blizzard, you can see a Masters of Evil being put together by season's end. If Joss Whedon is the genius we know he is, then this is how it's going to come together. And hopefully we're not going to be at the Teenage S.H.I.E.L.D. Hogwarts Academy anymore. Boo that.
Okay.
Oh, what is this? Tetris on top? Hold on, hold on. I see a tweet here. Do you guys see that tweet?
I saw it.
Get that guy classic off our screen.
William Bruce West tweeted at me, "Catch was from Ireland." Really?
Yeah,
that was Ireland. I did not pick up on that from reading the book. You know, because he didn't call anybody Wee Lassie like Sean Cassidy, like Banshee would, right?
Yeah. Oh, rest in peace, Eclectic.
Yeah, so since Eclectic has gone offline, just like our boy Classic did.
Since when?
We're now doing a burial for the Eclectic relaxation.
When did this happen?
Oh, I don't know, he just hasn't tweeted in a while.
Yeah, we were not snatched by the same black band. So,
if you do know some of his other, he does have other accounts out there that I know of, which I have seen tweets since the new year. So, who knows?
Yeah.
For Comic Book Chronicles' sakes, this is the death? The mass.
This is the wake.
Yeah, the wake. That's what I was looking for. This is the wake for Eclectic.
Oh no! It's the resurrection. It's the rising of Classic.
No one ever dies in comics except
that's Uncle right.
Ben Stacy, and stays dead.
Uncle Ben Stacy.
And Rodney Cat also asked if anybody was reading Revolutionary War.
Nah, man, nope. I haven't gotten around to that.
Hey,
I got a review copy of it, but I didn't read it. And William B. West also asked for us to do a Shark to Con pit.
Yes!
Yeah, that's a cold sort of podcast. I don't want to take over the show.
No, we could. Who knows when we'll do this again?
All right, let's do one. I don't have any music, but listen.
That is awesome.
I knew this was coming, and I still haven't thought of who I want to put in the Shark to Con pit.
Yes!
I know who I'm
putting. Yes, the Shark to Con pit.
This made my night.
If you hadn't noticed, I'm a little under the weather, and I'm so happy that we're doing a Shark to Con pit.
For old time sakes, can I put Cartoon Network in the Shark to Con pit?
You can.
Oh, yes, you can.
If you want, you know,
thinking about the Teen Titans being canceled, and just reminds me how much I love Young Justice and how the comic or the cartoon was great. But alas, Cartoon Network doesn't know what they want to do besides put on teeny bopper shows like Teen Titans Go.
You know you
are. They've already pulled Beware of the Batman off the air. If it doesn't sell toys, and remember Dan Dito says girls don't watch cartoons or buy comic books, something of that nature.
Yeah, that's kind of lame. But it's been hard to watch Cartoon Network and even, you know, Disney XD or any of these other purported cartoon channels because they just don't, you know, put on anything that's even remotely mature.
No,
until it's like 1 a.m.
Sure, and then they'll yank it off as soon as you find out about it or after it's too late. I know I'm going to throw in Disney XD because...
There you go.
Yeah, you go.
You know, I got to know Netflix a lot over the holidays. And by the way, some great series on Netflix. If you can, check them out. I just finished watching all of Wilfred on Netflix. And I was like, wow, how did I miss this show? But I got caught up on Tron. I won't say Tron Legacy. Tron Renegade. Tron Uprising. Sorry. On Disney XD. It was on Disney XD. Now it's on Netflix. And that was kind of the series in between the original Tron movie and Tron Legacy. You know, so it chronicles, you know, the transition from, you know, Clue taking over and, you know, taking over Tron. And it talks about this new renegade that, you know, gets introduced and he gets trained to be the new Tron. Great series. Got some great voice talents. Elijah Wood's in there. Bruce Boxleitner, of course, is Tron. Reginald Bell Johnson is a voice actor in there. I think Kelly Hu is in there. Mandy Moore. So a great, you know, lineup of voice actors, great animation. It's actually the animation from, I don't know if you know the remember the old Gorillaz music video. It's the same animators that designed the Gorillaz music videos.
Sure.
So it's like that style. And, of course, it's Tron, so you got the light cycles and all the other cool shit that was in Tron. Disney X, it was a great show. You know, great reviews. It's just people didn't watch because it was on, it's Disney XD, and it was probably shuffled to the other side of their lineup, or, you know, maybe late Saturday morning or something. Not for the kids. This should have been something that they could have put on ABC or something and really marketed it and made some good, you know, bank and got some good ratings off of it. But I had to find out about it a year later on Netflix because I couldn't even find Disney XD on my channel changer. I'm never going to find it on my channel changer. Same with Avengers. You know, I'm like, yeah, you make this stuff for kids, but you got grown people doing it, and it's properties that grown folks can get into. So for that reason, and all this marketing to kids, you know, marketing to the juice box crowd that's sitting in your living room rather than the adults and the kids across America who are looking for some great shit like Tron XD, you know, or Tron Uprising to get behind, I say feed you to the Shark to Cons, Disney XD.
There you go. There you go. There you go. All right.
Any other books?
I'm trying to think of what I'm going to throw in. I wish I was aggravated at something. I'm just so happy that we have the Shark to Con pit on the show.
You're happy Classic's back. You don't want to think negatively.
Exactly, exactly. I'm just happy to see Classic. What's that? Go ahead.
Dan Slott. I met you a year ago at Comic-Con, and you told me to my face, we're ending Amazing Spider-Man at 700. It's not coming back. Now we're going to have the Superior Spider-Man, and who knows? It might be somebody else other than Peter Parker underneath the costume. And you did all this stuff. You lied to people and said it wasn't coming back. Peter Parker's not coming back. You lied to kids at Comic-Con, and now you bring him back a year later, just in time for the movie. You're a shill. You're just selling out, and you've been selling out. You know, you wrote some great stories, and you helped us forget about Sins Past and all the other crap, but you put more crap and shovel on top of the crap that is the Spider-Man legend, lore, mythos, and you really just screwed it up for everybody. You just added another crap chapter to the saga that is Spider-Man. Now forever when I go to Wikipedia and read up on Spider-Man and these new readers and these kids that want to learn about Spider-Man, you're going to find out that his arch nemesis killed him, took over his body, kissed on his woman, and then basically was a better superhero than he was, only to be brought back a few months later. This sucks worse than the Clone Saga. Be ashamed of yourself. Feed you to the Shark to Con.
Oh, man. Like you never left. Like you never left. Oh, man. I wish I had someone to feed to the Shark to Con pit like that. I'm really digging now. You know what? I can't even bring myself to put in real life stuff into the Shark to Con pit. So, you know, I'll have to pass this week. I can't believe I'm passing. This sucks.
And Classic, what do you get off taking months off and not telling anybody? You think you end your podcast and you don't? Please, you do the Shark to Con too.
Yep. As Roddy Cat points out, Classic material comes back to life and Eclectic goes missing. Stay tuned for further developments. Same person.
Terrible. Oh man, this is great.
So great. I think that might wrap up tonight's Comic Book Chronicles.
I think so too.
It was a fun one.
That's a great show.
Shout outs to people watching live tonight, Dork Geekus, Roddy Cat, Dirt, and William Bruce West.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Oh, we got to give clicks of the week.
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
Read two books. So after that Slathan Shark to Con submission. Is that a word?
Scathing.
Scathing Shark to Con.
That's fine.
By Classic to Dan Slott, I choose Superior Spider-Man number 25 for my click of the week. Because I'm a Superior fan.
There you go.
My click of the week is probably going to be, surprisingly, just because I enjoyed reading it, is Cataclysm Ultimate Comics Ultimates number 3. It was just a fun read. I didn't understand half of it. It was just very fun to read. You know, just flipping through it, I seem to just be enjoying the read, and it says a lot. So my click of the week is Ultimate Comics Ultimates number 3, Cataclysm.
Okay. Classic, you still there?
Did you go to video and mute?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I did turn everything off. Sorry about that. But yes, it's good to be back. I don't know when I'll be back again, but...
We need a click of the week from you.
Huh?
We need We're looking for your click of the week. With your book of the week. We call it click of the week.
Oh, really? I didn't know you guys had that. See how long I've been listening to the show.
Yeah, it's kind of new. At least a month or so.
You got to make it to the very end of the show. That's what it is.
I'm going to stick with Uncanny X-Force number 16.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
So make sure to follow everyone on their social media accounts. You see I'm on the screen if you're watching the video, at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Classic is at Classic Materia, no L. Agent 70 is at Agent _70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need.
Yeah!
And Dirt is at PCN _Dirt. And PopCultureNetwork.com. So we will be back, hopefully, next week. Next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned to DClickNation.com to make sure
you don't miss that episode. Same click time. Same click channel.
We're the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace!